pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho, é o resto de toco, é um pouco sozinho, é um caco de vidro, é a vida, é o sol, é a noite, é a morte, é o laço, é o anzol, é peroba do campo,
é o pau da madeira,
ainda candeia,
é uma tita pereira,
é madeira de vento,
da ribanceira,
é um mistério profundo,
é o queiro do queiro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to the French Connections Thursday edition. Today's date is the 26th day of July, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and we are here for another installment. We are here for a rant today. I've got things to clear up and some situations I'd like to add information to. Of course, lots has been going on here. I have a couple of names to add to the list of criminals that we should all be paying closer attention to. I'll start with this, I guess. If you ever heard of a man named Frederick Kagan, his father's name is Donald Kagan. They're both extreme and almost venomous Zionists. Both of them are related and worked closely with Harvard University. Donald Kagan, Harvard Yale University. Donald Kagan is a Yale professor. His son Frederick is from the Hudson Institute. Where else is he from? Frederick Kagan, and he's also from what was he got? He wrote the book. Oh, he's American Enterprise Institute, which is where all of these crazy. They call them neocons, but I want to call them American Zionist criminals. Ashkenazis are from. And he's a crook. Kagan, by the way, if you don't remember our file on the Khazars, Kagan was the king. Means king in Khazarian Ashkenazi. So he has the name Donald King. Frederick King. Frederick W. King is his name, and his father is Donald Kagan, Hudson Institute, wrote the book While America Sleeps, which was the farcical blaming of Islam for all of the potential problems we face now and the problems we've already faced, and very instrumental in the Aspen Strategy Group and the Project for New American Century and rebuilding America's defenses and all this stuff. Put him on your list with Wormser and Faith and Ladine and all the rest of them and Fife and what's his name? Zolkheim and Chertoff, and I mean, where do you go with this? It's a who's who of Ashkenazis everywhere, all over the government, and they're writing the policies and they're writing the lies and they're writing the Iranian attack, and that is the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, that I have brought him up, because this, in fact, the truth of the matter is that this man has been instrumental in the policy writing of this latest phase. And by the way, they're failing at it. I mean, in the public opinion realm, they're failing at it. They're not going to win this. They're certainly going to strike out like trapped rats, I believe, because they have no choice but to create anarchy and havoc to disguise their retreat from some of their positions and reconsolidate themselves in others. We are in a point now in the country's history that without strong forces to being mustered against these criminals, we're going to descend into what I believe is violence and tyranny. And I believe there are enough imbecilic and troubled police in our country that they will probably be ordered out onto the streets to abuse the citizenry, as well as confiscate people's belongings and take people away to jails, prisons, camps, who knows. This seems to be almost imminent in my view and inevitable. But the question then becomes, what do we do about our ability to fight back against this stuff? Are we going to be willing at this point to stand up and say that's enough now and take back our country from these people? The battle is worldwide. It's global. It's Germany. It's France. It's Spain. It's England. It's Australia. It's New Zealand. It's Canada. all of them. If you take a look at the hierarchy of each one of those countries, they're all in the same condition. They all have their own lay deans, and they all have their own Kagans, and they all have their own criminals from top to bottom, left to right, ladies and gentlemen. They have their obfuscators like Spitzer. They have their liars. They have their media controlled. In France here, we have the Jewish conglomerate owner, Lagardère, owning all of the TV stations. And we have the jet manufacturer, the fighter jet manufacturer, Dassault, owning more of the radio stations. And we have, big conglomerate control under the Zionist control, and including the presidency and so forth and so on. And this is no different here than America. We are facing the same problems everywhere. But at the same time, the facts that we know, the information that has gone out, people have tested it themselves. They've looked into these questions on their own, and they have come up with the same conclusions. Now, of course, there has been a full court press on the French Connection's members, all the way up to what I believe has been a kidnapping and a sequestering of Christopher Bolin, or even possibly a murdering of Christopher Bolin, and then the Zionists who were speaking for him in advance of his disappearance and during the advent of that disappearance are now popping up on forums on the net to defend him still being okay. And yet, there is no willingness to date to speak to us for 15, 20 minutes, or to do a file, or to do an interview on another network even. And even his so-called mentally disturbed brother is showing up on the forums. And these, they sound, the posts put up by these people read so disingenuously. They're incredibly transparent in their inability to make people that really know this situation believe that Chris Bolin is okay, and that this was just a mistaken identity is what this woman Shelton is propagating everywhere, that they were really after Jay Bolin, but they made a mistake and thought Christopher was Jay, so that's why he got beat up in the front yard. It was all a mistake. And now she seems to be writing for Christopher and posting things for him, and even to the point of using acronyms in the same way with Jay Bolin, supposed Jay Bolin. I don't even know if that's him. It smells like a rat there, ladies and gentlemen. Go give it a whiff yourself. You'll get sick. And, of course, the shills out there on many of these forums are saying, see, Chris is all right. See, that those French Connection guys are crazy, and Eric Hoffman's nuts, and Smith is crazy, and Rafe's a liar, and this is all this. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, please. There is no proof Chris Bolin is okay. None. Zero. Zilch. Hasn't been a scintilla of proof that he's okay. None. There isn't any proof. What we got is a pile of suspicious emails and connections to Zionists in his disappearance. That's what we got. Yeah. That's what we have. Having a good summer, his wife supposedly wrote to us. what insanity is that? Oh, boy. And then we've got somebody, which Eric pointed this out in his recent piece, that we have people trying to jump into the shoes of Chris Bolin in the research area, Christopher John Bjerknes, who had done several files on my show, and I had always talked about the in-depth nature of his conversations. It is an approach that he takes to almost pedantically parrot out the information. But several people I've spoken to say that much of his 2,000-page book is cut and paste with his take on some of it. But and he points entirely to the Rothschild family as the family that is in charge and going to be anointed as the next Messiah for these Jews, and has been out on the sites defending that position, when in fact there is a complete it's not complete, but there is a movement away from the spiritual leaders of this criminality, the Lubavitchers, the Lubies, as I like to call them, the Ashkenazi Lubavitcher Judeo-Nazi criminal high priests, if you will. Menachem Schmerson and this group here, who they call the Messiah, and he's now long dead, and there's supposed to be another person who's taken his place. And that, you know, there was evidence over a century plus ago, that Jacob Frank was visited by Rothschild, or vice versa, but was given large sums of money and given deference to Jacob Frank for his spiritual control, because he was, in his time, the Messiah of this Lubavitcher group. But anyway, Mr. Bjerknes has been going out there saying that Eric is a Mossad agent. Now, let's take a look at that rationally. In what possible benefit would there be for Eric to be Mossad and then go out and trash the tar out of Zionism in every way? Work diligently at putting out Bolin's work and my work and files and articles about these people. He has done more damage to Zionists than just about anybody in human history. And yet they would go so far to try, this is a typical tactic, is to try to completely reverse the effect that Eric's having by saying he's exactly what he's fighting against. But take a look at the evidence and be rational. He's done more to beat the tar out of Zionism and point to the bad guys within Zionism than anybody. So what would be the benefit to these people? It's like saying, I'm a hand surgeon and I'm going around removing people's hands. Well, where's my work then? I install electricity, but I just destroyed the electric power plant down the road. I mean, all of this stuff. Who would benefit from such a nonsensical approach to their work? Who destroys somebody to benefit from it, except them? Bjerknes is trying to push people away from us desperately and makes up lies about us. And then, I'm going to say this clearly to each and every one of you, he tried in a conversation with me to get me to stop working with Eric. Said to me point blank that I needed to get away from Eric and that I needed to work with him, probably to do more files and whatnot. This was some time ago, and that's why there have been no files since. That same day, same afternoon, he was on the phone with Eric telling him to leave me and that he would work with Eric and get rid of Smith. Of course, Eric and I compared notes because it wasn't the first time this had been done to us. In fact, it was probably the fourth or fifth time different people have tried this in different ways. And when we compared notes, both of us said, holy crap, what's this about? Now, we didn't call him on it. What we wanted to do was just let him see what he would do with that information that he was trying to split us up. What he would do with it. Well, what he did with it is he stopped talking to us. He made up this ridiculous excuse that I had not called him back on the exact time that I said I would, and feigned anger toward me for it, which I was on a phone call at the time, in fact, with another guest that I had being planned for airing. This is when I had been doing a file a day on the radio. And made believe he was mad at us, and it was so contrived, so ridiculous that I started laughing at the time, saying, holy smokes, what's wrong with this guy? I couldn't believe it at the time. I thought he had lost his marbles. Well, it all makes sense now sometime later, doesn't it? And he's trying to shoe himself in there with the old shoehorn into Chris Bolin's position. And I'm telling you that, and he's also from the Chicago area. Yeah. Chris is from the Chicago area. This Dr. Linda Shelton is from the Chicago area. Do the math. I don't know what it adds up to, but it stinks like hell to me. And he's going around telling other radio hosts. Oh, by the way, he's going on rents for the third time. Mix a little bit of this stuff with UFOs there, huh? How about a couple of crop circles mixed in there, Christopher John Bjerknes? Why don't you Why don't you pepper in a little bit of nonsense in there so people think you're a crank whack job, and that'll soil the research for the rest of us. Possible? More than possible, ladies and gentlemen. And he's also given credit to a lot of other places. He's going on RBN with the American Free Press's representative Dankoff over there. This newest shill over at RBN, just slinging the hash, as it were. Putting out more of this darkness psyop, in my view. Yeah. Now, what's happening is that now, and he also did a big attack on Mohammed Rafig, and said that Rafig did all these things, said all these things about him, when in fact Mohammed didn't. He just took issue with some of his positions on the Talmud and the Zohar, and you know that to me, I'm not a scholar in that stuff, and I haven't studied it as well as some of these other people. But I got to tell you something, you know, the Zoharists out there, the ones that are Kabbalists or Kabbalistic with the evil left hand right hand stuff, they don't have any righteousness. There isn't any to them. These are the Lubavitcher criminals. These are the evil ones. These are the people who work in a parallel with the Church of Satan, if you will. But that's not what Berkness says. He says they exist, but they're not the principles here, according to what he was complaining to Rafig about. And Muhammad never said anything about what he was talking about. It was a nonsensical assault on his character. Destroy the messenger again. Destroy the messenger. And turned the tables around and said, we were questioning his veracity. Never did. Go back and read the stuff on Wake Up From Your Slumber, which, by the way, pops up Bjerknes, Shelton, and the rest of them, and the supposed Jay Bolin, all at the same time. All of them pop up and start posting over there. Oh, you couldn't write this stuff if you were a fiction writer. Nobody'd believe it. It was real. They would say it can't be. They wouldn't have done that. It's not plausible. But yes, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's exactly what they did. This is how desperate to destroy any vestiges of credibility that we might have. Which, in fact, what's happening to people who are watching this closely is they're becoming more and more suspicious of the exact people who have been doing this stuff. And it's interesting how in concert they work over there with others in the trashing brigade. Yep. Here it is. You can do the math, ladies and gentlemen. I don't make this stuff up. But why is it important, and why do I go on about it? Well, because this is an important sell. You know, it takes these people forever to develop somebody into a full-fledged, credible force out there. And when they throw them against the French Connection and we toss them aside like we did to Wing TV, like we've done to Michael Piper working for Southern Poverty Law and the rest, like we've done to these people, they are losing major assets on the internet for their propaganda. And they have to develop new ones, which they're trying all the time, like this Dankoff guy or whatever. But when they throw them against us and we just let you take a look at the facts, boy, you can start smelling the rotting fish vapor coming off their whole scheme. It's like this Project Cyanide stuff that Mark Glenn tried to shove down everybody's throat that just absolutely didn't wash with the facts. And then of course he's working with American Free Press, so there's the suspicion right there. And then he does these incredible destroy the messenger hit pieces on me that were off the hook ridiculous. And then he does the Project Cyanide nonsense, lies. And this guy has just gone back down under, you know, he doesn't want to be putting his head above the parapet anymore because everybody's gone and taken a look at these things that the French Connection has said, and he's been identified. Piper, identified. American Free Press, finished. There's not an ounce of credibility left to these crooks. And Bjerknes, right along with him. It's their whole team, ladies and gentlemen. You just follow them back to the rat's nest. And here we are being saying that we're by this woman Shelton that there are money grubbers that are trying to profit from this. I can't pay my phone bill this month because the donations have not been very good. And in summertime, it's the truth. But I've made a lot of calls to England, ladies and gentlemen, and there is no calling plan for my phone system there. And I have taken it on the chin, talking to Ray Figg and to Barry Turner and to others over there. I've been on hour and a half long phone calls, and I got this phone bill that would just choke you. And I'm having trouble over here paying my bills. This is an absolute fact, and these guys have the nerve to say I'm profiting from this stuff. It's costing me a fortune. Oh, but you know what? Who cares? I mean, what good is any of your money, my money, or anybody else's money going to be when they have imploded this place? Look at the dollar. It's doing the dead cat bounce. You want to know what a dead cat bounce is? Put it in your Google. Dead cat bounce. And then apply the definition of a dead cat bounce to the dollar. In the financial circles, dead cat bounce means even if you throw a dead cat down on the ground hard enough, it'll bounce. Well, the dollar is that dead cat, ladies and gentlemen, and it is having a little bounce, a little resurgence today, and then it's prepping up for the next leg of its descent. Falling like a stone. Which I should get back to. By the way, you are free to send us $5 or $10. I mean, this enterprise does not advertise, does not have paying advertisers. The only thing we survive on over here is your help, and we haven't been getting any. Almost none. Our numbers are up. In fact, yesterday was a record day for our visits to our website. And I want to thank all you shills out there for pointing out to people that they needed to look at the French Connection, because when they do, you know, the idea that they could ignore us, that's, you know, I don't want to be lauding their strategy, but that's the only strategy that works with us. You don't try to take us head on, because what ends up happening is when people come to the website and just spend some time looking at what we've done, they come to the conclusion that everybody will come to when they spend the time, and that is that we're telling the truth. And that is that we're on the level. And that is that we've identified the crooks over and over again, and they have proven themselves to be the criminals that we have said they are. And their research stinks. And again, this guy Birkness is a comme tel pro completely. He's saying Eric is Mossad. Now, do your brain, use your brain right here, and I'm going to say this one more time. I went over it already. But he has done more damage to Zionism and Israel and talking about this stuff in the last 3 years than just about anybody on earth, when nobody was talking about it. Back when there was only 1,700 hits for Zionism. What would the goal be? No goal. No reason. It makes zero sense, John Bjerknes. Liar. And now with your associations to going on to Alex Jones' show and to Rents, and they're shopping you around at all the old shill watering holes, and you live in Chicago and Bolin is missing in Chicago. Hello. Yeah. I smell a rat over there. I smell big, stinking, rotten rat over there. Hanging out with, who else are you hanging out there with the crooked buggers? And Eric put a big article on the site the other day about the criminality of the justice system and the police department in Chicago. It's at epidemic levels. But it's also a place where the Rahm Emanuel is working out of, and the Crown family is working out of, and so many other major league Zionist criminals. You see, this stuff is, you actually have to think a little bit in order to understand how they approach these crimes that they're trying to commit. And you also have to know that we are outing them, and they will get more violent. They will do more drastic things to us, and they will attempt to wrestle however necessary the control back. You know, in Russia in 1917, after the 5,000 Jews were sent over there by Morgenthau and Brandeis with $20 million, and Schiff and Warburg financed the Russian Revolution with $20 million and got the red team and the white team fighting against each other, these two armies, and they wrestled control of Russia with their money that they peppered around all over and the materials and the war materials they brought in and armed their people with. They ran that country with 4,000 or 5,000technocrat Zionist criminals, and they made it illegal to identify Jews as being behind any of the problems, and the penalty was death. And that's how they sent the criminality of Zionist Jews who destroyed Russia down the memory hole of the Russians. In the West, it's been done by propaganda on your TV sets and by constant droning of the lies over and over and over again to make you forget what they've been responsible for. You know, the lampshade stories that turned out to be just big fabrications, and the fact that they now came out and said, that so many of these other so-called facts that they were using for so many different things have gone under the microscope and come back as being frauds. Somebody wrote somewhere that said Anne Frank's diary was written in ballpoint pen in the last few chapters of it. And ballpoint pens didn't exist when she supposedly wrote it. So you do the math. Now that's left up for confirmation. I read something about this some time ago, and maybe someone can confirm that. But if that's an addendum to this story, then maybe we need to just begin to wrap our brains around how willing they are to do anything to win. Anything at all. Beg, borrow, steal, murder, obfuscate, kill, start wars, poison, genocide. Doesn't matter. These people don't have any problem with doing any of these things in spades. They will do it. They've destroyed relationships between different ethnic groups. 90%, if not more, of our relationship problems with the white and black communities in America have been propagated by these people. The oppression of the black community has been propagated by these people. And when it's been pointed out by certain black leaders, boy, oh boy, did they get crapped on real bad. Malcolm X knew what was going on, didn't he? Take a read of what Malcolm knows, what he wrote about. A lot of stuff in his writing, and boy, did they try to trash his reputation worldwide. Oh, boy. And then they do actually, did in the movie of Malcolm X, they don't go into some of the real issues about his death and what some of his philosophies were. They left a lot of that out about the Zionist community and the country and the Anti-Defamation League getting involved in the Southern Poverty Law stuff and what was going on in the South and all that stuff. You need to maybe do a rethink on that. I should actually do some additional research into that subject and bring it forward. But yeah, that's 13% of the American population that they've pitted against the white population, just like they're trying to make Christians and Arabs, Christians and Islamists go against each other. Yeah, they've only got several million of them. So how could they possibly hope to win a war without duping two groups into fighting each other when there's a world of 6.4 billion? Don't work. So that's what they do. They defeat their opponents through deception, and that's exactly why they're losing this battle, because we've pulled back their curtain. And people now are looking at all of their activities with a jaundiced eye, and they're questioning the facts according, the world according to them. And the world according to them doesn't add up. When you start doing the math about how they explain things about your world in the last few hundred years, you find one anomaly, one falsehood, one obfuscation, one lie after another. And when you add them all up together in order to make a decision about the veracity of their assertions, what you come up with is that it's just a big deception. like this guy Kagan. And like, you know, and then look, what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is start screaming this to everybody. That if the next fake terrorist attack, this fake Al-Qaeda attack, this fake Iranian attack on America, which is a fraud from start to finish, A to Z, happens, everybody needs to know that they're going to do it in advance and what they're going to do so that when it happens, everybody clearly knows it was done by Mossad, MI6, and elements within the American government. And people in the American government need to stop these people in advance. Mid-level military men and women who have not been caught in sexual picadillos and sicknesses and elevated to level of general and higher need to start fighting back, need to start saying no, need to tell their troops the truth, need to say we're not going to put up with this anymore, need to start fragging the Louis, baby. We need to start getting rid of the highest levels. We need to start taking things back. We need to start taking it to the streets, ladies and gentlemen. The days of hoping that we could avoid the worst effects of this stuff, I think, are quickly melting away, and I don't see much hope for anything by way of peaceful coming. I don't see it anymore, and I don't see that there's a possibility that we could get through this without taking it to the streets. Yeah. You know, there's some very good quotes from Thomas Paine that I like to listen, you know, to read. Lead, follow, or get out of the way is one of them. And we've tried to lead you into the true research. We've tried to place it in front of you and allow you the respect to make decisions on your own based upon the reading of this information. But most of our detractors that are not part of the Zionist criminal shill brigade out there who say that we're no good and this and that have never looked at our stuff. They've just taken someone else's barking word for it. Yeah. This is the one thing that we all need to really start placing ourselves. There's a better way here. There is a way that we could start taking this back. We could start rounding Zionist criminals up and placing them in the FEMA camps that they built for us. And the media executives and the people in mid-level media that are adherents to Zionism. Start rounding them up. We outnumber them 100 to 1 or more. The rank and file military people in the country are not part of their criminal operation. The police departments are not manned at the low level by Zionists. They're manned by dupes who believe the lies of their leadership, but that's starting to crumble. Even rank and file police are starting to understand the fraud. Talk privately to any New York City policeman about what happened on 911, anybody who was in the employ at that time. How about anybody who was in the fire department at that time? They'll tell you the facts privately. They're all afraid to step up because they're afraid of losing their health benefits or their pensions. We're going to lose those things anyway if you don't step up. So, I mean, if you don't see that already, if you don't see that by now, then I don't know what else to tell you. I gotta tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't stand up, you're gonna lose it anyway. That's the bottom line. There's no way to stop this implosion. Look at the dollar. Jeez, they're expecting it now to be 145, 150 soon to the euro. $1.50 to the euro. Ooh. That's a 50% drop in 6 years, 7 years. Unbelievable. Half. Drop by half. Oh. Yep. And If you go out now, and they, according to what I'm reading, if you go out on the streets and complain, they're going to confiscate your home. How desperate are they? How desperate are they? Get over to your ammunition store there and pile up the big caliber there, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to be needing it soon. Time for the fight. Time to bring out the big effects now, because this mess is not going to go away until we take it back from them. Read Thomas Jefferson. Read Thomas Paine. Read Patrick Henry. Look at their quotes. Look at their research. Look at their stands on things. Read what they've said about freedom and liberty and the requirements that you all have if you want to live free. You know? One last quote from Thomas Paine here for you, ladies and gentlemen. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Think about it. My name is Darrell Bradford Smith. Until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, fight on and be well, please. Bye-bye now.
É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho. É o resto de toco, é pouco sozinho. É caco de vidro, é a vida, é o sol. É a noite, é a morte, é o laço, é o anzol. Peroba do campo,
é o pó da madeira,
canga candeia,
é uma quita pereira,
é madeira de vento,
da ribanceira,
é um mistério profundo,
é o queira ou não queira,
é o vento ventando, é o fim da ladeira, é a viga, é o bão, festa da cumieira,
é a chuva chovendo, é conversa ribeira das águas de março, é o fim da canseira,
é o pé, é o chão,
é a mastradeira,
passarinho na mão,
pedra de atiradeira,
é uma ave no céu,
é uma ave no chão,
é um regato, é uma fonte,
é um pedaço de pão,
é o fundo do poço, é o fim do caminho, no rosto desgosto, é um pouco sozinho, é um estrepe,
é um prego,
é uma ponta,
é um ponto,
é um pingo,
pingando,
é uma cor,
é um ponto,
é um peixe, é um gesto,
é uma pata brilhando,
é a luz da manhã,
é o tijolo chegando,
é a lenha, é o dia, é o fim da picada, é a garrafa de cana, estilhaço na estrada,
é o projeto da casa, é o corpo na cama, é o carro enguiçado, é a lama, é a lama,
é um passo,
é uma ponte,
é um sapo,
é uma rã,
é um resto
de mato,
na luz
da manhã,
são as águas de março fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração.
É
José,
é um espinho,
na mão,
é um corte,
no pé, são as águas de março, fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração,
é pau,
é pedra,
é o fim
do caminho,
é um resto
de toco,
é um pouco,
sozinho, é um passo, é uma ponte,
é um sapo, é uma rã,
é um belo horizonte,
é uma febre terçã,
são as águas de março, fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração, pau,
pedra,
vinho, resto,
pouco,
pouco,
vinho,
aço,
hidro,
vida,
ol,
oite,
forte,
aço,
sol,
são as águas de março, fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração, vá, bota, vá, pode, bandida, já, zida, bada, nanhenha, andandede, badandede, badandede, andandede, andandanda, andandandede, andandandede, andandandede.